Hello, Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Commissioner and Pax Christi Scotland Chair here. It's been a strange summer in so many ways, and as we wait for new brooms to sweep clean in the UK government, wouldn't it be good to get our own priorities clear to them? For organisations that put peace and justice at the top of their to-do list, some change on the inhumane refugee policies would be very welcome. And in challenging the next incumbents of the Cabinet to reconsider that awful Nationality and Borders Act and the Rwanda deportation strategy, I'd like to share the story of a very special young woman with you. Jennifer Woodhouse's dad, Brendan, spoke very powerfully about the refugee situation at Pax Christi Scotland's online event we called Challenging the Hostile Environment. Brendan is a refugee activist who has saved countless lives in the Mediterranean and has worked with refugees in Cali. Jennifer got very upset when the hostile environment became evident in the headlines, changing her attitude towards school and her classmates. Brendan says that Jennifer had just started secondary school in the September of 2015. She was nervous because there weren't many kids from her primary school in her form, but she went in making friends and doing lessons just like all the others. Every day when he picked her up, she'd come down to the car park where he was waiting for her, full of smiles and excitement, and then she'd tell him about her day on the way home. However, he says that one day, Jennifer's attitude had changed. He said she didn't come to the car like that. She was sullen and quiet. There was no conversation. So I asked, "What's up?" Knowing how passionate her dad was about the voluntary work he did, he's just recently received a medal from his real job with the fire service for his activism in the Mediterranean. Jennifer didn't immediately tell him what was up, but eventually he persuaded her to share with him. Remember, this was 2015, when the news was full of refugees making it to Europe. David Cameron had just called them a swarm of migrants, and Jennifer was aware of her dad's trips to Cali, taking donations to the people living rough in what was then known as the Cali jungle. Jennifer's classmates had been discussing the refugee situation, and she told her dad that some of the boys in particular had been quite mean about them. Jennifer, every inch her father's daughter, of course, stood up for them. She'd been shouted down and she was angry. But she didn't want Brendan to be upset, so she'd wanted to keep quiet about it. Brendan remembered what distressed Jennifer most. The same old questions, which, as he says, aren't really questions, just reasons to dehumanise. The kind of stuff we're still seeing in the headlines of some newspapers and on our social media pages. Why are they all men? Why have they got phones? They're coming for benefits. Why have they left the women behind? Aren't they dangerous or terrorists? And so on and so on. When Jennifer told her dad the answers she'd tried to give, he was impressed. He was also impressed that she'd agreed with her tutor to speak about it again the next week, and she was going to do a presentation about refugees. Perhaps not surprisingly, this first-year pupil in secondary school admitted she was scared. Big school was still daunting to her. She asked Brendan to help her make a presentation, which he agreed to do as they drove home. Over the next few days, they scoured the internet and found statistics and real stories and answers to the questions. Jennifer put together a presentation and she was ready. The next week, it was Brendan's turn to be scared. He waited in the car park for Jennifer, wondering how his daughter had got on. He must have been hugely relieved when she came running to the car wreathed in big smiles. She burst open the car door and jumped in, shouting, "I did it!" Of course, he was immensely proud and grilled her on her every detail. She told him that she'd done the presentation and even answered questions from the class, and that in the end, the boy who had been the meanest about refugees had said that he was sorry and that he didn't know the things that she'd told them. She said that the whole class clapped at the end and teacher had told her how brave she was. But when Brendan said, "Well done, I'm proud of you," all Jennifer could say was, "It's not enough." Taken aback, Brendan asked what she meant. And she told him, "If they think like this in my school, then they think like this in every school." As Brendan acknowledged, she was, of course, correct and very wise. But she now wanted to go to different schools with her presentation. Brendan quite rightly said, "Whoa, that's right, but calm down, Tiger. You'll change the world for sure, but let's get school finished first. You're 11 years old, one step at a time." Jennifer went home with a contented smile on her face and pride that she'd stood up for the displaced and vulnerable people that her dad had told her about. I'd like to tell you that this fierce, wise, courageous, intelligent, and articulate wee girl was now about to change our world. In August, she and Brendan planned to go to Calais together, ahead of her going to university to study maths. But just days after Brendan spoke on our Zoom event, Jennifer and her best friend died in a car accident. I'm sure you'll commiserate with me, with her whole family. I've shared the story of her passionate presentation on behalf of refugees because, like her dad, I'm convinced that she would have changed the world. And I'm convinced that each and every one of us can change the mind of one person, as she did, of many people, if we simply tell the truth about who refugees and migrants really are, what their stories are, what they've experienced, and what a huge contribution they can make to our society. Catholic social teaching tells us that we're all brothers and sisters, underscored by Pope Francis in his document Fratelli Tutti. That means that at least 89.3 million of our brothers and sisters around the world have been forced to flee their homes. Among them are nearly 27.1 million refugees, around half of whom are under the age of 18. And according to the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, there are also millions of stateless people who have been denied a nationality and lack access to basic rights such as education, health, employment, and freedom of movement. We're living at a time when one in every 88 people on earth has been forced to flee. I suppose that equates with what? One person in every three tenement closes in Glasgow, with one person in my wee rural village in Argyll having to flee their home and seek safety elsewhere. Another of our speakers on that Zoom conference was Zabir Zazai, once a refugee from Afghanistan, now the chief executive of the Scottish Refugee Council, with a string of awards, honours and degrees to his name. Every person who is displaced for whatever reason has an intrinsic value. The hairs on their heads are counted. And given a chance, they might look after your ailing granny or become a government minister, open the corner shop that you rely on 24/7, or become a professor in a university. Brendan Woodhouse has written a book about a Gambian refugee called Doro, who was rescued on his fourth attempt to cross the Mediterranean Sea. One of the underhand accusations that Brendan identifies in those seeking asylum are fighting aged males, which he says is a deliberate term used to dehumanise, fighting aged males. I'd like to give you a very, very short edited extract from Doro. You can show me a fighting aged male and I will show you a man who can work. Show me the man that you're frightened of and I will show you a gentle soul who is scared. You show me an economic migrant, an invader or a crook and I will show you a mirror. For we are all the sons and daughters of migrants. We as people have always moved and we have all benefited from migrants' misery. It is our exploitation that makes them run. We are the creators of migration, the benefactors and the blind. We turn our eyes from their suffering, yet expect them to take all that comes. We, the creators of their misery, define ourselves as the victims of their pain. We take their oil, their minerals, their produce and their lives, yet it is we who call them the crooks. You say that they've come for our welfare state, yet I've met thousands of people crossing this sea and every single one of them wanted to work. You'll find the link to Brendan's contribution to Pax Christi Scotland's Challenging the Hostile Environment on our website. Just Google Pax Christi Scotland. You'll find links to his book if you search Doro, that's D-O-R-O, and it's published by Unbound. The Woodhouse family is remarkable. Jennifer has been described as a force of nature with the whole world ahead of her. Her friend Lara Meldrum, who died with her, was also a kind and caring young woman. When Brendan is able to draw breath after such a terrible tragedy in his own life, he will go back to trying to prevent tragedies in the Mediterranean. So, on Friday the 19th of August, which is the UN's World Humanitarian Day, wouldn't it be good to say a prayer for Jennifer and all the Woodhouses, and to reach out, perhaps donating to Care for Cali or Caritas, to all committed to humanitarian work. And I'd like to share this prayer made by Pope Francis back in 2020 on the World Day of Migrants and Refugees. Father, you entrusted to St. Joseph what you held most precious, the child Jesus and his mother, in order to protect them from the dangers and threats of the wicked. Grant that we may experience his protection and help. May he who shared in the sufferings of those who flee from the hatred of the powerful console and protect all our brothers and sisters driven by war, poverty and necessity to leave their homes and their lands to set out as refugees for safer places. Help them through the intercession of St. Joseph to find the strength to persevere. Give them comfort in sorrows and courage amid their trials. Grant to those who welcome them some of the tender love of this just and wise Father, who loved Jesus as a true son and sustained Mary at every step of the way. May he who earned his bread by the work of his hands watch over those who have seen everything in life taken away and obtain for them the dignity of a job and the serenity of a home. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, whom St. Joseph saved by fleeing to Egypt and trusting in the intercession of the Virgin Mary, whom he loved as a faithful husband in accordance with your will. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.